You're listening to another inspirational message from Bell Road Church. If you live in the North Phoenix area and are looking for a church community, we'd love to have you join us. It's a great place for the whole family where you can have fun and grow closer to Jesus. For more information, visit us at www.bellroadchurch.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. I think everyone knows my name, but if you don't, my name's Vanessa. Super excited. I love Youth Sunday. It's my favorite Sunday out of all Sundays. I mean, I like all Sundays, but top 10, definitely up there for sure. It's a really cool opportunity to be able to share kind of what God's doing in the youth ministry, to share especially about what God did at camp. And so it's such a great opportunity. And so you're going to get to hear from myself today. Also, students and leaders are going to share different testimonies of kind of what God did at camp this summer for them and how God used them. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit today, and so we're going to be talking about how God used them and how the Holy Spirit ministered to each heart at camp. And so those of you, I wanted to say a thank you from here. If you helped a student get to camp financially, whether you prayed for them, whether you gave money for students, man, thank you so much. I don't get to know all the names of everyone that gave, but I know people gave, and that money was well used, and it was definitely a deposit into a student's eternity. And so thank you so much for giving. Thank you so much for the monetary, for the prayers, because it was incredible. And some of these students wouldn't get to go to camp if they didn't have someone help them get there. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you so much, because these students had a life transformation, and it was so cool to be able to see and watch. We're going to continue our series, Upside Down Kingdom, today. And we're going to talk about a guy named John. A guy named John the Baptist. He was what we would call probably a weird guy. He dressed funny. He ate locusts and wild honey, okay? But even though John was weird, God used him in a super cool way. And God anointed him to do super cool things for Jesus, which is awesome. And so it's fitting to me that we pick him for Youth Sunday, because teenagers dress weird. They sometimes smell weird. Being real. Coming to the youth building on a Wednesday night, just walk in for a second, and you're like, holy crap, what happened? That's what's bad. No, I'm just kidding. You do get used to it after a while, though, the smell. You just, when you leave and come back in, you have to adjust your nostrils again to the scent of teenagers. Because, unfortunately, they're an age where they don't all know how to use deodorant. They don't all know the importance of showering every day. So, you know, we teach them those things. We teach them those things. It's important. They teach them Jesus, and we teach them the importance of showering. Those are all good things to teach people. So it's super good. But John the Baptist was so awesome, and I think he knew the importance of the Holy Spirit and the value and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to read the scripture in a second, but today we're going to talk about why we should be filled with the Spirit and what will that do for you in your life. So it was really cool. John the Baptist, you know, he baptized people, which was awesome. But then he said the words, you know, I'm going to baptize you with water, but someone's going to come after me with shoes I'm not able to carry that are going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire from on high. And that's the second, that's the promise of this baptism, this fire from Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the promise of that. And so the cool thing is at camp, one of the things that happened is they're literally immersed in Jesus for 4 days. Like they're having incredible services, and God's just moving. And so they're really, our teenagers are getting to experience the Holy Spirit in a way they may not experience on a regular basis. But the cool thing is, and one of the things I tell our teenagers is you can experience that every day of your life. It doesn't have to just happen at camp. You can come back on a Sunday and experience the same Holy Spirit at camp that you experienced you can experience on Sunday the same Holy Spirit that you experienced at camp. You can go to youth service and experience the same Holy Spirit at youth service that you experienced at summer camp. So it doesn't matter what location you're at. It's really cool some of the things that happen. And so I'm going to invite Nate up to share really quick. He's going to share something cool that God did for him at camp.
Good morning. This devotion that I made, I made it last service. It was supposed to be something different, but I guess I just got to thinking and I changed things up. So I was told a few times, actually, in the past weeks that, like, when I was up here and Pastor Tyrone was praying for us to go and have a good time and all that, I looked angry or upset. And that's kind of because I was. Like, for some reason, I thought that I would just go to youth camp and it would be a big waste of time and I would have no fun and I wouldn't experience God. But I was wrong. God, he had a different plan. And but in that mindset of not having a good time, I decided to make my own fun somehow. So I decided to sign up for a basketball tournament. In the basketball tournament, we won. But sadly, my glasses broke. and this was like halfway through the camp. So the last half of the camp, I was forced to, not be able to see. So during the sermons and stuff, I had to pursue God in a deeper way. I had to go after him like I haven't before. Because, you know, I had to listen with my ears and I had to go up front to pray or to praise because, you know, I couldn't see the words and I couldn't see the pastor and stuff. So in that, I felt his presence in my life. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I was allowed to encounter him in a way that I haven't before in a long time. And so that's what youth camp did for me. It just allowed me to experience God, and I was filled by the Holy Spirit.
Good job, Nate. Thank you. You're awesome, Nate. I think last year he broke his glasses as well, but it happened at the end of summer camp, so it was fine. Usually I think he walked up to me and said, I think I did this last year too. And I was like, yeah, you did. You broke them last year as well. But yeah, super awesome, Nate. I'm proud of you, buddy. Super proud of you. We're going to open up the scripture to Matthew 3, starting in verse 1, okay? It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all of the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Join me in prayer really fast. Jesus, we honor you and praise you, God. I pray as we go into your word and as we hear testimony, God, of who you are, Jesus, that I pray for hearts in this room to be transformed. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, that you minister, God, and that you encourage us to go deeper, God, and to seek that encounter, God, and to go further and further in your presence. In your name we pray, God. Amen. Okay. There's a man who went to buy a refrigerator. He bought the most incredible refrigerator you could imagine. It had all the bells and whistles. And then some. It was top of the line. The store delivered the new refrigerator to the man's home. He filled it with all of his food, and he's so excited to have his great new refrigerator. The next morning, he goes into the kitchen to make breakfast, only to find that the milk is spoiled, the ice cream is running out of the bottom of the freezer compartment, and the vegetables are changing color. The refrigerator is not working, so the man calls the store to give them a piece of his mind. The man at the store says, I don't understand what's wrong. Open the door and see if the light comes on. He opens the door, no light. Put your ear up close to the refrigerator and see if you can hear the hum of the motor. No hum. Then the man says, there's a cord at the back of your refrigerator. Check and see if it's plugged in. The man looks, and sure enough, it's not plugged in. So he comes back to the phone and tells the guy, no, it's not plugged in. The man at the store says, well, sir, in order for your refrigerator to work, you have to plug it in. The man got highly upset and said, "That's ridiculous. For the kind of money I paid for this refrigerator, that shouldn't matter. This thing should work anyway." Now, all of us would say, of course you have to plug the fridge in. That's very obvious. You see, the refrigerators are dependent things, and no matter how much you pay for it, even though it has all the parts needed to run, it won't run without a power source called electricity. Unless you plug in the cord, the food is going to spoil. And our spiritual lives, guys, will not run without being plugged in. And we see that in Matthew 3. The power source for us is not electricity, it's the Holy Spirit, right? Our spiritual lives cannot run without being plugged into the power source. And John the Baptist showed us the importance of having the Holy Spirit and making sure it's part of our life. If without the Holy Spirit, you guys, our lives are, imagine you're storing all this food and it literally is just like the fridge and everything spoils and is gone because you're not allowing God to work in your life. You're doing the right things. You're not drinking a lot. You're not cussing everywhere. You're living that Christian life, right? Everyone can look at you and say, well, they're a Christian. They're reading their Bible. They're praying. But you're not allowing the Holy Spirit in your heart. You're saying all the right things and doing all the right things, but you're not giving God every piece of you. You're allowing yourself to hide from God. And so the first question is, why do you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What's so important about it? And God gives us everything we need to run our lives, but we have to plug into the power source or we won't become who God wants us to be. We will not become the person God's called us to be because we'll be like the dead refrigerator that makes everything spoil, okay? Doesn't matter how much we run around without plugging into that power source, you guys, we will not be functional, fully loving Jesus, and we'll have a hard time serving God. And so one of the cool things of being filled with the Holy Spirit is God speaks to us, right? He gives us things. He shares with us. And so I'm going to invite one of our youth leaders up, Haley. She's going to share God, you're really using her and allowing the Holy Spirit. She did what I said, which is she plugged into the power source and she allowed God to work through her in a cool way and got to experience something awesome. So I'm going to let her share that with you today.
It's me again. Hey, guys. Thank you. Thanks for coming to my show. Months ago, I did the prayer lab with Amy, and she she told me, she was like, I feel like God's going to have you operate in the gift of prophecy. And I was like, that's terrifying. But there was also another part of me that was like, that seems really cool. Like, God can use me to kind of minister to other people, do like this faith-building thing, not only for them, but also for myself. And so before camp, I was looking forward to the growth that the kids were going to experience, but I had no clue the amount of growth that we as leaders were going to experience, but definitely not prepared for the growth for myself. So months and months had passed, and I was like, God, like, I feel really distant from you. More so, it was like, you feel really distant. And he was like, yo, I'm here. Like, you're the one running away. And I was like, okay. So at camp, there was one night we were praying, and I was just really pressing in, and all of a sudden I hear the name Landon. And we don't have a Landon in our group, so it stuck out to me because it is, it's kind of a different name. It's not something you hear every day. And I was like, okay, God, like, there's more to this. Like, what do you want me to hear? And he goes, Landon needs prayer. He had an argument with his mom. He doesn't feel like he's forgiven, and he's having a hard time forgiving himself. And I was like, okay. So the preacher or the speaker that week, his name was Christian, and he had index cards available for people to write these things as, they were coming to them. So I wrote mine down, and I was probably annoying with my other leaders. I was like, I really hope Christian gets that card. I really hope Christian gets that card. Like, I just need to know. And then one night, he's reading these cards, and he goes, someone in here felt we needed to pray for a Landon. And I'm just like looking around like, oh, is there a Landon in here? And then an entire youth group turns around and is like, over here, this is Landon. I was like, wow, okay, this is overwhelming. And then Christian prayed over that specific thing, the argument that he had with his mom, all of that. He's like, so they really need healing for that, blah, blah, blah. And the next morning, we were in our leadership meeting, and someone who was kind of running the meeting was like, hey, do we have any cool testimonies from last night? And guess who's sitting behind me? None other but Landon's leaders. And they're like, yeah, so Landon is our student. And me, in my, you know, good fashion, I literally slithered out of my chair. And I was like, oh, this is so overwhelming right now. And they were like, so not only did that right there make waves in Landon's life, but it made waves in our entire youth group. They were like, it just kind of shows that God can use anybody to, like, pinpoint. Like, it just shows that he cares about you, no matter how big or how small the issue is that you're going through. Like, he sees you, he hears you, he cares for you, and, like, he wants to draw attention to that. And they saw me slither, and they're like, was that you? And I was like, it was. And so then they're like, we just want to thank you for, like, listening to God, because we didn't even know that on the way to camp, Landon was in the car with his mom, was in an argument, like a heated argument, and the last thing he did when he got dropped off was slam the door behind him. And they told me, they were like, he went back to the cabin that night and called his mom sobbing and apologized. And I was just like, holy cow. And so that right there, like, that spoke volumes, not only to him, but also to me, because I was like, wow, God, like, you used me, like, a random person who's just here, like, trying to meet with you, and you're like, hey, yo, that kid that you don't know, yeah, pray for him. And I'm like, okay, yeah. So, yeah, I just want to say, like, I want to encourage you guys that if you hear things, like, and you're like, is there something to that? Press in. Because you might be really, really surprised, and it might be a really cool ministry moment.
I will say, it didn't happen in camp, but I'm going to, what Haley just said, which is, it was a random Sunday morning. It was not at this church. It was at my last church I was at. And God said, specifically a student, God said a student is cutting themselves. And I want you to share that they are loved and that I care for them. And let me tell you, sitting in the audience, I was terrified because I was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty heavy, and what if I'm wrong? Then I thought to myself, what if I'm not wrong and I don't share this? What's going to happen when that teenager goes home and they're lonely and they don't have anybody? And I got up and I shared their testimony. No one responded, because I literally said, hey, come find me later if that's you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to talk to you and pray with you. And we had a bus ministry at our church, and so one of the leaders came back and, like, ran to find me, and I was like, what's up? And they're like, dude, one of these kids on the bus was a seventh grade kid, walked up, and it was him. It was a boy, and he was cutting himself, and literally was like, ended up praying with this leader on the bus, and, like, God touched him, and he got saved that day on the bus. And I don't say it to brag on Jesus, just like Haley said, you never know. It might be the most random thing you ever have thought about, but who knows what that's going to do for another person that God's telling you to share it with, because you don't know what your obedience does for somebody else. You don't know what your obedience does for somebody else. And so God wants to use us in many ways, but the thing is, are we going to allow God to use us? Because when we allow God to use us, we walk in his strength. We walk in his power and his authority, and we don't walk on our own strength and our own power. And God gives us these spiritual gifts, and we need to tap in the Holy Spirit to use them. Guys, God wants to use you and I to do so many things, and it doesn't happen just on camp. It happens every day of your life. You choose to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow his voice and listen to what God's speaking to you, God's going to use you. And God's going to use you to touch somebody's life, and you're going to experience that. So the second thing is, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? It guides us. In Acts 16:6, it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Holy Spirit guided them. He speaks in many ways, okay? I think that sometimes we think God's not speaking, but I think we just aren't listening all the time.
I feel like our generation and everybody, we want loud music. We want to always be having something in earbuds, like constantly. Teenagers are like notorious. Like the earbuds now? You don't even see the string anymore. So they can just like, I don't know how many teenagers, can you please take out the earphones? Just take them out for a minute. Okay, just let me talk to you. But it's true, like we want constant noise, but God's like, man, I'm trying to talk to you, but you don't listen. You have so much noise going on everywhere that you're not stopping to listen to who I am. One of the things I do in the youth ministry often is I have the worship team come up and we'll play a song and then I have them stop playing completely. And I just stop and say, guys, we're going to pray really fast and we're going to ask God to speak to us. And I want you just to sit in quiet and allow God. And I want you to listen for God's voice. And we wait and we allow them to understand and experience God's voice, because you guys, if you don't learn God's voice in your life, you're going to not experience the cool things he has for your life. And so the Holy Spirit encourages us. It empowers us, okay? It gives us power to face the day. It gives us boldness. It prompts us. I would say I got to, Janessa, one of our youth leaders, I got to baptize her at youth camp, which is probably one of the coolest things ever. I was like, man, I've never baptized somebody at youth camp. But she walked up to me and said, hey, I think I need to do something, but I don't know if I can. I was like, okay. She was like, hey, I think I need to get baptized. I was like, all right. And I'm thinking, we'll do it when we get back. Cool. She's like, no, right now. And I was like, okay. And so I ran, and I was like, Bria, I need the keys to the pool. I ran on Bria, and I was like, she's like, what? I was like, I got to baptize someone right now. And she's like, you serious? I'm like, yeah. And so we baptized Janessa in a jacuzzi at the campground. It was super awesome. So, and she just was like, man, I feel like I'm supposed to do this. I feel like God's told me to do this right now. I have to. And I was like, man, let's do it. And so listening to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to prompt you. John the Baptist in the book of Matthew said it well. Like, I'm going to baptize you with water, but someone's going to come after me. It's going to baptize you with spirit and with fire. And you're going to speak, and it's going to empower you to do cool things. We're going to have, two more. Sorry, Leslie, you want to come up and share? She's going to share a little bit about how Jesus spoke to her at camp.
I'm gonna be different from first service. Okay. 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 So, I was not very, how to say it, I wasn't in contact with myself or God. And, like, this dude here, this awesome guy, he also thought that he wasn't going to have fun and he wasn't going to have contact with that. Why did I say that? Whatever. But, I didn't think I was going to have a contact with him. But then, I think it was the second night of youth camp, we were just in silence and Christian, the guy that talked over there, he told us to pray in silence for a while, and we did that, and I was just praying to God if I could, like, feel his presence, and just so I can feel his love and his presence, and I didn't feel anything, and I started weeping and crying, and then out of nowhere, Pastor Vanessa comes, and she starts praying, and she starts saying that God told her that that I was going through a lot, and I was that I'm important. I just matter.
It was, yeah, and I had no idea actually. She told me that afterwards, and I was like, oh, well, that's cool, because God was like, go pray this for Leslie, and I was like, okay, and I walked over and. I had zero idea that that's what she was praying for before, so it was super cool how God uses randomness, right? God uses anything. Second, Jeremiah, come on up, buddy.
So before camp, when we were right here praying, Pastor Cameron was praying over us. He prayed that we would all hear from God, and I was kind of skeptical about it. I was like, if it happens, all right. If it doesn't, all right. And when we were at camp and I was praying, I didn't hear anything. I was praying for him to, so I could hear him, and I didn't hear anything. And I was like, okay, well, it's not the time yet. And then and then out of nowhere, I'm just worshiping, and all I hear is, "Let go, I have you. I have you where I want you. Just let go."
So you got to hear from about four people about how really the Holy Spirit worked in their lives. And I want to say the one surrounding theme that is they pressed in, right? Each one said the same thing. They pressed into God. And when they pressed into God, God spoke. And when they pressed into God, God did something super awesome for their life. And so today, Youth Sunday, yeah, I wanted you guys to hear testimonies from these students about how God transformed their life. But more than anything, I want you to leave here understanding that if you press into God, the Holy Spirit will meet you. The Holy Spirit will meet you, and the Holy Spirit wants to meet you. You may be in this room and say, you know, I've never even heard the voice of God. How much have you pressed in? Have you allowed God in your heart? Have you asked God to come deeper into your life? And so we're going to go into a time of worship. So if the team wants to come up, I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to work deeper in your life. We're going to go through this song. I forget the name of the song. Nothing Else. It's the second song we did in the worship set. We're going to do it again. I love that song. I love that song. It's such a beautiful song. Just, it brings us back to the heart of who God is, that his love is so incredible and so amazing. And so my prayer is that you worship how you want to worship. I said that in first service. Like, I'm demonstrous when I worship, man. I'm loud. I move a lot. Okay. People definitely notice me. I don't do it if people notice me, but it's just that's how I'm passionate, and I worship passionately. That's just how I worship. Each person in this room, some people will worship because they sit quietly, and that's how they worship, and that's okay. But I want to encourage you to step out of your box. Step out of your box. If you're saying, man, I don't hear from God, I worship and I hear nothing, do something different then. It says insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So if you're not getting the result that you want, step out of your comfort zone and do something different. And allow God to speak, because my prayer, guys, is as you leave here, I hope that you're encouraged by these students, and I hope you're encouraged by the testimony that you heard. But more than anything, I hope you encounter God today. And I pray that you encounter God in a deep and mighty way. So if you need to get out of your chair and come to this altar and pray and worship, and that's how you need to encounter God, I want to encourage you to do it. There's going to be communion tables on the front and the back. There's also prayer partners in the front and the back. If you need prayer for anything, we're here to pray with you. So if you want to stand to your feet for me. Jesus, you are faithful and you are good. Lord, I pray. Actually, can you guys lift your hands for me really fast? And I actually want you to repeat something after me. Say, Jesus, I surrender my heart, my feelings, my pain, my frustrations, all my worries. I give them to you, and I ask you to work deeper, move in my heart in a mighty way. Jesus, I pray for each person in this room, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will move mightily. I pray for people to experience you, God, different than when they've ever experienced you before. Lord, I pray that the people in this room, Lord, I pray will be able to know you, God, in a way that they've never known you, that they will feel you in a way they've never felt you, God, that they will hear your voice maybe for the first time. And I pray, God, you speak to us, Lord. Move mightily in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message of Bell Road Church. We hope you enjoyed it and that God spoke to you through it. Be sure to connect with us online via Twitter, Facebook, and at bellroadchurch.com.